Okay, so last week we began the discussion about the importance and significance of Yetzias Neshama, and we pointed out that we have in many different contexts in the Gemara a similarity between the Neshama of a person, the life of a person, and a Sefer Torah. We explained in a very beautiful way from Rav Soloveitchik what exactly that connection is all about. And now let's go on a little bit further. I want to discuss tonight an important issue, and that is we learn the halacha, which is clearly set out forth in Shulchan Aruch, as we saw last week, that when a person is present at the time of Yetzias Neshama, he must rip Kriya. Again, that is in Siman Shin Mem, Sif Hei, if we want to open up to that in Yerbedeya. So the Mechaber says as follows, Ha'omed b'shas Yetzias Neshama, shal ish o shal isha me Yisrael, a person who is present at a Yetzias Neshama, either of a man or of a woman. We said last week, it's a discussion, Rashi and the Ritva, whether it actually is such a simple understanding that it should be for men and women, but we assume halacha lemaisa, you rip kriya for a man or a woman, chayiv l'kroa. So that's the halacha lemaisa, and the Shulchan Aruch assumes here that it's even if what? It's even if you're not a relative. Anyone who's present at the Shas Yetzias Neshama must rip kriya. Now that's what we spoke about last week, but now the discussion I want to have is, what is the halacha in terms of a chaver kadisha member who's present when the Yetzias Neshama happens, or for that matter, a doctor, or a Hatzalah member? What happens when they find themselves present at the time of Yetzias Neshama? I don't know if you're going to like what I'm going to say, but let's learn through the sugya together a little bit. Let's turn to Shin Mem, Sif Chaf. So it's further on in Hilchas Kriya. I want to learn with you this... Sorry, stop turning pages. I turned to the wrong thing. One second. I'm really looking for the Shach. I'm looking for the Shach, but I have the wrong Shach written down. Okay, so it doesn't make a difference. The Shach says in Siman Shin Mem, the Shach tells us, let's say a person is wearing somebody else's begadim. I borrowed somebody else's clothing, or I work for the municipality, and they give me, let's say I'm a post office worker, and they give me a certain set of clothing that don't really belong to me. So the Shach points out that I am not allowed to rip Kriya on such a begad, even if I'm wearing those begadim at the time that a parent passes away, or at the time that a sibling passes away. But certainly if I'm there at a time of Yetzias Neshama, I do not have a right to rip begadim that don't belong to me. Similarly, as we said last week, the very important sefer in Hilchos Avelos is the Mishmeres Shalom, that's in the back of the Yerideya here. So the Mishmeres Shalom points out from Rav Meir Arik in his Shuvas Imre Yosher, that he writes, what happens when you have a soldier who's wearing the uniform that really belongs to the municipality or to the government? Or you have a policeman. So he says, if that soldier finds out about the death of his father or his mother or any other krovim, or he's present when there's a Yetzias Neshama of a fellow soldier, he is not allowed to rip kriya because those articles of clothing do not belong to him. So let's assume for now that we're talking about a chaver kadisha member or a doctor that actually does own his own clothing. Right? I think doctors nowadays generally buy their own, I think, right? They don't really use the hospitals. Nurses and doctors really buy their own clothing. They're supposed to have a certain look to them, a certain feel, but we assume that generally they do belong to the doctor and the nurse specifically. So what's the halacha when you have a situation like that? So the Geshur HaChaim famously points out that based on the Shulchan Aruch and Yerideya, turn to Siman Shin Lamates, Sif Dalet. Okay, does everyone have that? Shin Lamates is just the previous page. Sif Dalet. Says the Yerideya, the Shulchan Aruch tells us as follows. Kiven shenata adam lamus, when we're talking about a person who is holding by the end of life, ein rashan liparud mimenu, says the Shulchan Aruch, we have no right to pull ourselves out of the room and not stay with him, kedei shelo teitze nafshe v'hu yechidi. We don't want that at the time of Yetzias Neshama, this person should be found alone. U'mitzvah lamed ala adam mishas Yetzias Neshama, says the Ramah, it's in fact a mitzvah for a person to be present at the time of Yetzias Neshama, shenemar vayichi od anetzach v'lo yirah hashches ki yirah chachamim yamusim. Fine. So that is the Shulchan Aruch and Ramah, that we have a mitzvah to be around at the time of Yetzias Neshama. Well, points out Rabbi Chiyo Michal Tukachinsky in his Sefer Geshur HaChaim, that although there's a mitzvah to be there at the time of Yetzias Neshama, and although we learned in the Gemara in Mari Katan last week, that ha'omed ala meis b'shas Yetzias Neshama, even if he's not a relative, he must rip Kriya anyway, still, says the Geshur HaChaim, because this is so important that a person be there at the time of Yetzias Neshama, therefore the Geshur HaChaim writes, we now adopted the practice that a member of a Chevra Kadisha, or a doctor, or a nurse, do not rip Kriya at the time of Yetzias Neshama. Why? because we want to encourage people to stick around and not leave at the time when the end of life actually comes. That is what the Gesher HaChaim assumes. Oh, so that's what we're going to discuss. Is that the way we pass? A very important question, and that's what I want to get into. You should not think, before we discuss the Chiddush of the Gesher HaChaim, one should not think that the Gesher HaChaim's Chiddush is completely outlandish, meaning this sounds like Reformed Judaism, right? Because we don't want people to run away when it's the time of Yetzias HaShama, so therefore we're going to change the halacha. What do you mean? We don't just change based on what everyone feels. What? Oh, so exactly. So I just want to point out, we do have many cases in halacha. I just want to point out four of them that are interesting, where we do find a similar idea, that the Chachamim bent the rules because they want to encourage someone to be involved in pikuach nefashos. Meaning, imagine if at the end of life, a doctor is going to always run out of the room. So let's say the patient needs more medication. Let's say the patient needs another machine to be hooked up to something else. You need to turn something on, turn something off. The doctor's going to run away. He's not going to be there. So this is an inyan of pikuach nefashos. So therefore, we assume that to encourage people to stick around for the end of life, that's what the Gesher HaChaim assumes. We have a right to bend the rules here. And we can assume that nowadays nobody has to rip kriya when they're there at the Yetzias Neshama unless they're immediate relatives. So that is what the Gesher HaChaim writes, and that is the way Rav Avadia Yosef paskins as well in his Tshuvas Yabia Omer in Yodeya Chelek Dalet. So, I just want to go through a few examples. Example number one is in Bab Metzia Daf Nun Ches Amad Aleph. An interesting example, that's number Beis on the sheet. Says the Gemara, Hasocher Asapar Lishmar Asapar. Let's say I hire a worker to watch after my animals. Or Lishmar Asatinok. My father likes to point out, this is the first place we have a babysitter in Chazal. Right? Rashi writes that I hired a babysitter. So I hire somebody to go ahead and watch my children. Lishmar Asasraim. Or to watch my field. Ein Nosen Los Char Shabbos. I am not allowed to give him money for watching my field or my children or my behemoths on Shabbos. Lefikach Einach Rai Shabbos Olav. Well, if I don't pay the babysitter for Shabbos, I'm not going to show up on Shabbos. So since I'm not paying him for Shabbos, therefore, the babysitter does not have to show up on Shabbos either. Hayah Schir Shabbos. Let's say I ask the person to watch my children for a week, or I ask my worker to watch my behemoths for a week. Or he's a Schir Chodesh for a month, or a Schir Shana. Nosen Los Char Shabbos, Lefikach Achrai Shabbos Olav. If it's Behavlah, as we call it in halachic terms, if it's lost, so to speak, in the rest of the payment for the rest of the week, then we assume that you are allowed to give Schar Shabbos. Says the Mardechai on that Gemara, I'm sorry, not on that Gemara, and since Sof Perek Afalpi. Perek Afalpi is in Ksubis. So the Mardechai writes an interesting halacha, which is a Machlokas HaRishonim, and it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Says the Mardechai as follows, Pasak HaRav Rabbeinu Baruch, Mikan Yeshli Chashash Al HaChazanim, because we have a problem of Schar Shabbos, so what is the heter for a chazan to take money? Shemaskir Masam Lisbal B'Shabbos. You have special chazanim that come to daven on Shabbos. They're not there during the rest of the week. So how are you allowed to pay them to work for us only on Shabbos? So, obviously if the chazan has to prepare during the week and it's going to take him time to look through the davening and to prepare whatever he has to know, so then that's not Schar Shabbos. We're paying him also for the preparation that goes into it. So that's Behavlah. The same way if I rent someone to work for me for a whole week, if I hire him to watch my children for a week or to watch my animals for a week, that's called Behavlah and that's Mutter. But if let's say the Chazan knows this in his sleep already, he doesn't have to do anything, and I just hire him to come one Shabbos. So then, the Rabbeinu Baruch quoted in the Mordechai assumes that that would be an issue of Schar Shabbos. The Rabbeinu Shmuel Amar, another one of the Rishonim assume, no, She'ein Isser Bozeh, there's no problem of Schar Shabbos at all. Ha'nostim Schar Lekiyim HaMitzvah LeHispalel Ve'ein Zer Schar Shabbos. Because I'm using this individual not just for watching my children and not just for what? Not just for watching my animals or my field. Rather, I'm hiring him because he's going to do a dvar mitzvah. So we assume that the laws of Schar Shabbos do not apply when we're referring to a mitzvah. In Shulchan Aruch HaRachayim Simen Shin Vav, he's making a beautiful davening, right? He's doing a dvar mitzvah. So we assume that Rabbi Shmuel over here assumes that when we're talking about a dvar mitzvah, the Isser of Schar Shabbos does not apply. So these are the 2 days in the Mordechai. And in Shulchan Aruch, this is discussed at length in Siman Shin Vav and Hilchos Shabbos. Mishnah Berurah says over there, the Mishnah Berurah points out in Siman Shin Vav, that Mialedes, when I have a midwife or a labor coach, so we assume Mutter L'Lekabel Schar Shabbos. Although there are these 2 days in the Rishonim, quoted in the Mordechai, whether a chazan is allowed to accept money as payment for his work on Shabbos, says the Mishnah Berurah clearly in Siman Shin Vav, Sif Chav Dalid, that a mialedes, a midwife, is certainly allowed to take money for her work on Shabbos. Why? So they write over there, the Acharonim point out very clearly that the reason why it's mutter is because, what's the reason? Because she's not, if the nurse is not going to be paid, then next Shabbos she's not going to be interested in going. You're going to yell at her, someone's having a baby, I don't care, I'll go slowly, I'm not going to run the red lights, right? I'm not interested in going as quickly because I know I'm not being paid anyway. But if we pay her, and the later Acharonim point out, no, that you should really force them. The Chassam Sofer says you should force the person to take money because we want to really make sure to encourage them that they're Mechal Shabbos, to make sure that they're encouraged to take care of Pikuach Nefasha. So this is one context where we have this idea already, where we bend the rules in order to encourage people to help with issues of Pikuach Nefasha. The second idea that we find is in Sanhedrin Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph. Now this is a fascinating case. The Gemara, this is number Dalet, the Gemara says as follows, Rodef, Shaya Rodef Acher, Rodef Lahatzel V'Shiber Kalim. What happens? If I see somebody running after somebody else with a knife, and I know he's going to kill him, so what's the din? I'm allowed to kill him. He's a Rodef, so I'm allowed to kill him to save the other person's life. Now what happens if on my way, I'm flying through the streets, and on my way I bang into something, and I knock it over, and I break that item. So am I chayiv to pay? Well, I was on my way to really do a good deed, but on the way I was negligent, and I hit something. Says the Gemara, no. If that happens, Bein Shal Rodef, Bein Shal Nirdef, doesn't matter whose item it was that I broke, Bein Shal Kaladim, even if it was a simple store owner, on my way I banged into something that, you know, in a shop on the way, still I am putter. V'lo min adin, says the Gemara, Shem Iyata Omer Kein, because if you're not going to tell me that I'm putter, Nimtza Ein Lecha Adam Shematzel Es Chaver Miyad HaRodef. I'm never going to want to get involved. Why not? Because I know that there's a danger involved. If in my rushing to go and help the person who's being killed, I'm going to break something, I know I'm going to be responsible, so therefore I'm not mechuyev. The more recent shaila that came up, this is not so shchiach, this doesn't happen that often, that you know you have somebody running after somebody else with a knife and I break something on the way, it doesn't happen, but a very common, not so common, but a modern day shaila application of this gemara would be the following. Let's say somebody jumps into the street as I'm driving, so my only option is either to run them over or to go onto the sidewalk. If I go onto the sidewalk, I'm going to bang into another car. Right? So the only reason I went onto the sidewalk is because I wanted to save the life of the person who jumped into the street. So my mechuyev to pay for the damages on the other car. That's exactly this case, but just in modern day terms. So what would he say? Pater. Why? Because it was an ma'aseh hatzala. The reason why I bumped into the other car is because I was trying to save the person who was being nirdaf. Who was being rodef after him? It happens to be it was my car that was being rodef after him, but it was his fault. So he... Who has to end up paying? Maybe he has to end up paying if he was negligent. But lemaisa, I certainly don't have to pay because what I'm doing right now is a maisa hatzala. I'm not doing a maisa of hezek. So that's example that we find number two. Example number three is the Gemara tells us in Erev and Daf Mem Dalid that kalayotzim lahatzol chozrim lemakomon. That's what you discussed before. If let's say a hatzala member goes out on Shabbos to the hospital and you're going to tell him he has to stay there, so that's going to be a question of if he's going to actually want to go next week. Meaning he doesn't want to be stuck in the hospital without his family. So that's what the Gemara says. Anyone who goes out to do Hatzalas Nefashos is allowed to come back. There's a big discussion in Shulchan Aruch, how far do we take that? Do we assume he's allowed to be Mechal Shabbos D'Oraisa on his way back, or only D'Rabbanan? Big question. It's a good thing Mark Gross is not here. Because and not Chassidus Shepoiskim. Forget the Chassidim. The Litter Shepoiskim. All disagree with Ramosha. Everyone disagreed with Ramosha. Ramosha's Chassidus is, can I get everything? Yeah, so that's a big question. Where did Hatzala come up with this psak? This is not exactly what we're focusing on, but just know it's a big issue. The simple reading of the Gemara in Beitza when it discusses this halacha is you're not allowed to violate an issa d'oraisa. I know in Washington Heights they have a guy that always comes to drive them back. Guy drives back, yeah. Because I mean, first of all, it's something that's very easy for us to work out. It's not like the biggest kunz in the world. And it's not pasha that you're allowed to violate an issa d'oraisa on the way back. It's Hermaisha has a tremendous chiddush, but it seems to be connected everything that the Gemara says in the sugya. Anyway, so that's example number three. And example number four where we find bending the rules is if you have a rofe, that is hizik b'shogeg. If let's say you have a doctor who mistakenly, you know, messes up in the middle of a surgery, so we assume that although generally we hold adamu adolam, although we hold that a person is always responsible for his actions, however, when it comes to a doctor, the Tosefta tells us that we assume that the doctor is going to be pater. Why? Because if he's going to know that everything is going to be held accountable, he's not going to want to be involved in refuah at all. So we have such a precedent that we find the rules being bent in order to encourage people to be involved in pikuach nefashos. So here, says Rabbi Chiel Michal Tukachinsky, is the same idea. Since the Shulchan Aruch here in Shin Lamed Tes points out the importance of people sticking around B'shas Yetzias Neshama because it's a question of Pikuach Nefashos, we don't want people running away at the end of life. So therefore, says Rabbi Chiyo Milcho, we have the right to assume that we're going to get rid of a whole halacha, even though the Gemara tells us, and it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that B'shas Yetzias Neshama after Rib Kriya, still because of the issue of Pikuach Nefashos, we have the right to get rid of that whole din. Says Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, absolutely not. Number hey. Says Rav Moshe in Choshen Mishpat, Chelek Bey, Simen Ayin Gimel, Os Yud. Ra'isi b'sefer Gesher Achayim, Me'agon Rabbi Chiyo Milcho Tukachinsky. Shehevi b'shem sefer Shulchan Gaboa, Shenagu l'hokal b'zeh v'lo l'kroa. The Gesher Achayim came up with a chiddush, that nowadays we have the practice not to rip kriya b'shas yitzias neshama. Shwai, mishim shem lokein, lo yimtu anashim sheyirtu lavo lamad b'shas yitzias neshama. Because if not, said Rabbi Chiyo Milcho Tukachinsky, no one's going to want to stick around at the end of life. Achu tam kolish ma'od, says our Moshe. That's not a good enough reason. Levatochi of mamish mefurish bebraisa kan. That's not a good reason to knock out a whole din that we find is paskin la halacha. Um mesecha Shabbos daf kufhei. Now says our Moshe, I'll prove it to you. Because in mesecha Shabbos daf kufhei, the Gemara tells us, demishum chiyuv ze havi akorei al ames b'Shabbos mesakin. We know on Shabbos, just parenthetically, you're only chayiv on a malacha if it's tikkun and not if it's mekalkel. Right? If I do something, mekalkel b'Shabbos is pater. So over here, if a person rips Kriya on Shabbos, right? He's there, B'Shas Yetzias Neshama, and mistakenly he rips Kriya. Obviously, you're not allowed to do it, but mistakenly he does it. So is he Chayiv or Pater? Well, I would say it's Mekakel, he ripped the shirt. The answer is he's Chayiv. No, why? Why is he Chayiv? But you're not Chayiv to rip Kriya on Shabbos. Answer is because it's a constructive act. Why is it constructive? Because that is going to help calm down my fears. So it's a Maisa Tikkun, it's not a Maisa of Kilkel. Yes, your shirt is now going to be ripped, but that's called a tikkun, not called a kilkul. Says Rav Moshe, v'im lo haya davar chiyuv mamish, if you're assuming that this is such a light din, that you really don't have to rip kriya b'shas yetzias neshama, because really, after all, what's the big deal? We want to encourage people to stick around. U'b'shvil chashash katan kazeh de'inshi de'lo mali, you have a couple of bums who are going to leave and not stick around when the yetzias neshama happens. Oh, inshi ani, poor people who don't have another shirt. Shelo yirtu lavo v'lamo b'shas yetzias neshama, if this ripping of the kriya is not such a big deal, and it's really something that's not such a big chiyuv, then says Rav Moshe, how would we call it mesakin? How do you define that as a maisa of tikkun on Shabbos? Therefore, says Rav Moshe, elavadai de chiyuv gamaru. I think that the Gesher Achayim is absolutely wrong, says Rav Moshe. It's a chiyuv gamar. You must rip kriya upon the yetzias neshama. However, what does the Gesher Achayim mean? What do you mean? He has a whole tshuva explaining that you don't have to do it. Says Rav Moshe, no, what he must mean is, lahazbir hatam madua lo michu be'elu shein korin. Meaning, let's say I balabatim in my shulah, don't put on tefillin. Am I going to just let them go, or am I going to say something? I'm going to say something. Let's say I have people who are involved in arayas. Am I going to say something, or am I just going to let it go? I'm probably going to say something. So over here also, if we see people are not being careful to rip kriya, so why don't we say something? So on that, says Rav Moshe, okay, maybe the reason why we don't make a macha against them is because this is not like being bar arayas. This is not like not putting on tefillin. This is different. Why is this different? Because maybe the reason why we shouldn't make a macha on them is because we want to encourage these kind of people to be around B'Shas Yetzias Neshama. But for Yirei Shamayim, for people who actually understand the din, Rav Moshe says there's no heter not to rip kriya. So this is a very important halacha. This is a very important halacha. Rav Moshe thinks that the Gesher Achayim made up a whole halacha, and he thinks that he did not have the right to do that. My father thought that Rav Moshe is actually correct in this, and we actually have a chiyuv to rip kriya if we're there b'shas yetzias neshama, although we are not related, and we should not rely on the Gesher Achayim's kula. However, we'll get back to this in a minute, there is another tzad lahakel which is very fascinating, and this is my father's chiddush. But let's first go to one more point that Rav Moshe makes in the tshuva, and that is based on the Shulchan Aruch later on in Simen Shin Mem Sif Chaf Aleph. Let's turn to Shin Mem Sif Chaf Aleph. So I didn't finish. 1 second. I'm going to get there.
If you were there, B'Shas Yetzias was alive, and Yetzias Neshama.
Yeah.
Now, most of the Tzala cases, if you come after, you're even in prison, cardiac arrest already.
Yeah.
You really was Yetzias Neshama already.
Yeah, certainly.
Unless you best revive him, then...
And it happens again, yeah. Okay, so let's see. Shin Mem Sif Chaf Aleph. What does the Shulchan Aruch say? Kara al hames. Let's say I rip kriya on a mace, and then umeis lo mace acher, toch zayin. In the middle of Shiva, I'm supposed to wear the ripped beged, and now another mace passes away who I'm mechuyev to rip for. Let's say it was first the father and now the mother. Karea kera acher. I'm allowed to rip another rip on the same beged. However, la acher zayin, let's say it happens after Shiva is over. Mosif ala kera harishon kolshu. I don't have to make a whole nother rip, a whole nother line in the beged. I could just add on a little bit of kolshu onto the first rip. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. So Rav Moshe points out that the same would apply here. If let's say you have a doctor who works, unfortunately, on a ward in a floor in the hospital where there's people dying all the time. So Rav Moshe says he's going to rip his beged. So now he goes into the next room, and he's there when the next patient dies. Whatever, unfortunately, it can happen. So he says he doesn't have to go rip again. The Shas Chimam is over. We said last week, the only time you have a chiv to rip is B'Shas Chimam, right away when it happens. We even pointed out, you're not allowed to go home, the Mishmer Shalom points out. You can't go home and change your clothing to cheaper begadim, because then the Shas Chimam is over. The intensity of the moment has already died down. So over here we're talking about B'Shas Chimam. So the doctor, if he already ripped on one mace, and now he goes into the next room, and a second mace passes away, he can just add a kol shehu the same way the Shulchan Aruch points out over here when it comes to different relatives. Now, my father, I just want to point out this very important halacha, and with this we'll close. My father points out another reason why we have a right to be mekel b'zman hazeh for a member of the Chevr Kadisha, or for a doctor, or for a Hatzalah member. And what is that based on? That is based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Samach Amud Aleph. Let's look at number Vav. Says the Gemara in Sanhedrin, HaShomea Birchas Hashem, Chayev Likroa. Someone who hears Birchas Hashem, what is Birchas Hashem? Megadef. You hear someone who's Mekalalas Hashem, so he's Chayev to Rip Kriya. If you turn in Shulchan Aruch, Shin Mem, Siv Lamed Zayin. Okay? Should be on the same page we were just on the bottom of the other side. HaShomea Birchas Hashem. So this is quoting that Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Samach. Afilu Birchas HaKinui. Even if I don't hear someone say Yudke Vavke, I hear him be Megadev with one of the other Lashonos. Chayev Lekroa. I'm Chayev to Rip Kriya V'hu Shiyishma'enam Yisrael. Says the Shulchan Aruch. The one caveat here is that I hear it from a Jewish person. B'yesh Omrim. The Bizman is a Mumer Dino Kovar Kacham. Okay, what are we going to do with the Mumer who does it? Okay. However, it seems very clearly from this Shulchan Aruch, which is really quoted in the Gemara, that if I hear it from a non-Jew, I don't have to rip Kriya. Now, what's that all about? What's that all about? What do you mean? If I hear someone curse out HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what does it make a difference who does it? It's a terrible thing. I should have to rip Kriya either way. So what's this all about? So the Gemara over there says the following, and listen carefully. It says the Gemara, De'enu Chayiv L'Kroa, if a non-Jew goes ahead and is Mekalel Es Hashem, I'm not Chayiv to rip Kriya. Why? Dim Kain says the Gemara, this is the Lashon HaGemara, Yimalei Kol HaBegadim Kulo Karayim. What does that mean? If every time I go ahead and rip Kriya when a non-Jew is Megadef Es Hashem, then Nismalei Kol HaBegadim Karayim. All my clothing are going to be ripped because every day when I walk in the streets, I turn on the radio, someone's saying a terrible thing against God. So I'm going to have to rip all my clothing. Okay, so back to our question. So are we reform? Let's say you say you have to put on tefillin. You know what? We're not going to put on tefillin because if you're going to have to put on tefillin, I'm going to have to go to shul every day. Terrible. Is that a rationale? That makes sense? It's a pella. So what does this mean? So just because the Goyim are so busy being Megadev Es Hashem every day of the year, and all their begadim are going to end up being ripped, so therefore we don't have to follow the halacha? What does that mean? So what does this Gemara mean? So my father pointed out that the Shiltos has the same Shakla Vatar in the Gemara. It's in Shiltos and Parshas Emor. And it's not my father's Bekiyas, it's quoted in the Margolis Hayam on Sanhedrin Daf Samach. So anyone could look it up. It's a very interesting Shakla Vatarya that the Shiltos has, which our Gemara does not have, but it's clear that this is what our Gemara means, because you left with the Kasha. So what? So you're going to have to rip your Begadim every day? So rip your Begadim every day. The answer is, says the Shiltos, no. Because we pointed out last week, which is a very important thing to always remember when we're dealing with Kriya, that the only time a person has to rip Kriya is B'Shas Chimam, when he feels the intensity of the moment from what has just happened. So, says the Shiltos, B'zman hazeh, when we're so used to every time you turn on the radio, someone says something terrible, or every time you walk in the street, someone's already being Megadev, so it's not a Shas Chimam. We don't feel any sort of intensity. We don't get angry even. When a Jew gets up in shul and he curses out there, okay, so that hurts us. Of course we're going to rip Kriya. But when a non-Jew does it in the street, we don't expect any more from them. So therefore, there's no longer a Shas Chimam when we hear a non-Jew being Megadef Es Hashem. And that's the reason why there is no longer a Chi of Kriya. That's what the Gemara means. Nismale Kala Begadim Karuim, meaning it doesn't mean anything to us anymore. So therefore, we assume halacha lemaisa, if you hear a non-Jew be megadif as Hashem, one would not have to rip kriya. So my father took that halacha and brought it into this din as well. What happens when you have a doctor? And he's so used to seeing this. This is nothing new for him. He's seen this many times. Or you have a Chevra Kadisha member or a Hatzalah member who sees this all the time. So then, it's no longer a Shas Chimim. You don't get shaken up anymore when you see it Tzias Neshama. Unfortunately, we all get desensitized, but that's the way it is. So therefore, we assume that the same way when you have a Nachri Bezman Hazeh, who is Megadif Es Hashem, the Gemara says, and the Shulchan Aruch Paskins like this, you're not Mechuyiv to Rip Kriya. So too, when we nowadays hear or experience Yitzias Neshama, but we're used to seeing it all the time. We're Chevra Kadisha members who see this all the time. We are not Mechuyiv to Rip Kriya. However, if you're a new doctor, and this is the first time you're ever seeing it, or you're a new Chevra Kadisha member, and you're not in fact used to doing this, and you're not in fact used to seeing it, so the first couple of times, you still would have to Rip Kriya according to this Cheshbon, because you still have that intensity, you still feel that Shas Chimam at the time when you're experiencing your first few Yitzias Neshama. So that's something interesting to point out. Again, we had the Gesher HaChaim who holds this whole halacha doesn't apply at all. We had Ramesh who thinks the Gesher HaChaim is completely wrong. Then we have this third Cheshbon that my father had, which seems to be very correct, according to the halacha here, strictly by Hilchas Megadif Es Hashem, that if there's no din of Chimam anymore, then we don't assume that you have to Rip Kriya. Let's just go one more halacha, if we can. Right? 2 more minutes.
Children,
so,
grandchildren that are in the room.
Yeah. You're saying, should they rip kriya at the Yitzias Neshama or at the Hesped?
At the Yitzias Neshama.
Right, so generally we assume people rip kriya, people who are related rip kriya at the Levaya or at the Kvura. But if they're there at the Yitzias Neshama, it's a big question in the Achronim. Generally, nowadays we tend to assume that they shouldn't rip then.
Right.
If they're going to rip at the Hespedim, they should rip later.
Gesher
HaChaim says, like, yeah, but we're... We just knocked out the Gesher HaChaim's Chiddush here. Yeah, generally we hold like the Gesher HaChaim in that you should wait till after the Hespedim, because we assume that for the family members, the Shas Chimam, the intensity is greater later on. When they hear the Hespedim, it's Ma'ur them, it's more, or at the Kvura for sure, so therefore we assume they should wait. Right, they don't know how to do it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Saying, is there an Isser Bal Tashchis?
No. Does he need a rip?
I mean, you want to say you could do whatever you want, but the question is there an Isser Bal Tashchis to rip my clothing for no good reason when I'm not Mechuyev?
Okay.
So that's an interesting point. Someone asked me a Shaila a couple of months ago to discuss with my father, what if the person is an adopted child? Right? So he's not really a relative. Should the adopted child rip Kriya not at the Yitzias Neshama, but at the Hespedim, should the adopted child rip Kriya for the adopted parent? I mean, for their parent who adopted them. So that was an interesting question, which really gets to your point as well. Is there an Isser Bal Tashchis? Meaning, maybe I don't just have a right to go ahead and rip Kriya at any time I feel, you know, sad about anything. Maybe the only Chiyuvim of Kriya are the only times that I'm allowed to do it. And any time which the Shulchan Aruch doesn't spell out for us as a Chiyuv, maybe it's actually Usser because it's Bal Tashchis. So that's a discussion. Maybe we'll have it in a few weeks. Because I thought that was an interesting issue about ripping Kriya on the adopted parent. But let's just go one more very important halacha, and that is based on the Gemara Moed Katan Chafav and Beis. Says the Gemara, Amemar Shachav Le Barberei, see we're out of time, but we'll just read the first two lines of this Gemara. So Amemar's grandchild passed away. Kare Ilave, so he felt so sad that his grandchild passed away, so he went ahead and he ripped Kriya on the grandchild. Asaberei, now the son, meaning the father of the person who had just lost the child, came to his father, the grandfather, so the son walked in the room, grandfather ripped Kriya again in front of the son. Idkar, now he remembered the Miyushav Kara. He remembered, oh yeah, I'm sitting down. You're not supposed to rip Kriya sitting down. Kam Karam Umat. So the Gemara says he got up and he ripped Kriya again. So this is the first reference that we have in the Gemara that you're supposed to rip Kriya when you're standing up. How do you know you have to rip Kriya standing? So over here the Gemara brings Psukim, it's not important right now for our discussion to get into all the details of the Psukim. But there's a big machlokas of Rishonim. Should we assume that when the Gemara says over here one has to rip Kriya standing, is that just lechatchila, or is that even ma'akev b'di'evit? So let's all turn to Shulchan Aruch Simen Shin Mem, Sif Aleph. This is a very important halacha, and this is really a machlokas of Rishonim. The Ramban writes in the Torah Sa'adam, as well as the Ritzkeis, and the Kesef Mishnah, and the Agos Maimini, they all assume in the Das HaRambam that One is not yotze the mitzvah of kriya at all if he does it in a sitting position. The Ravid disagrees. The Rush over here in Ma'id Katan quotes the Ravid, and the Meiri says the same thing, Shilta Gibarim, also that if one does it sitting, he's yotze v'di'evet, but the chatchila, you should do it standing up. So what's the halacha? So here in Shulchan Aruch Sif Aleph, we are told, Misha meis lo meis, v'hu me'amesim, sh'roi l'hisabel aleihem, chayiv l'kro alav, v'tzarech sheyikra ma'umad. Says the Shulchan Aruch, we paskin like the Ramban, and like the Ritzkeus, and like the Rambam, that one has to do it standing up. V'imkara miyushav lo yatza. V'tzarech lachzer v'lekroa. A very important din, that if someone mistakenly rips kriya in a sitting position, he has to go back and rip kriya again. So this is just something important to note, that when we're advising people on how to do the dinim of kriya properly, we should just make sure to tell them that they must be standing when they do the kriya. And in fact, in Shulchan Aruch we paskin, that if they're not standing up, they must do it again. At the same time, we are told here in the Pischei Tshuva, if you look in the bottom, the little letters in the bottom on the left, see the Pischei Tshuva? So Pischei Tshuva writes in Sif Aleph, Kasav Birki Yosef, Kol Kriya Tov Shetia Al Yidei Acher. It's better that the Kriya should be done by somebody else. Too old for this? So, huh? No, your Shulchan Aruch is just too small, that's all. So, the Pischei Tshuva quotes the Birkei Yosef that it's better that, let's say, a Chever Kaddisha member should rip Kriya for the other. Why? It feels worse for the person if somebody else comes and rips their begadim. If you look in the back, we won't look right now, but Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius has Dine Avelis in the back of the Shulchan Aruch. So he points out that he doesn't understand what this Pischei Tshuva is talking about because Mitzvah Bel Yosef Mishlucho. I have a mitzvah to do the kriya on my own, and what right does somebody else have to come and steal the mitzvah from me? Why should somebody else rip for me? So that's why Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius says, no, but Dafka, the person himself should rip. So our minhag generally is, I think, that the Chever Kaddisha starts the ripping, and then the person continues. So this way you're really mekayim both. You have, number one, the Pischei Tshuva's chumra from the Birkei Yosef, that somebody else should do it because that engenders more agmas nefesh. And on the other hand, you have the other taina of the Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius that Mitzvah Yosef Mishlucho, the person should do it on his own. So just a quick recap, we said that we have the Gesher HaChaim says, Chever Kaddisha members never do, we have Rav Moshe disagrees, we have the third Svarah from Birchas Hashem, which seems to indicate that nowadays when there's no Shas Chima, because one has experienced it so many times, he doesn't have to rip, the same way we find by Birchas Hashem. And then we discussed ripping Kriya Mu'umad, as the Shulchan Aruch tells us clearly, like the Ramban, that if one does the ripping of Kriya sitting down, he is not Mekayim the Mitzvah, and he must do it again. And finally, we discussed the discussion in the Achronim whether or not somebody else should rip for the Avel, or the Avel should do it for himself. Mirtz Hashem will continue next week where we...